reading to you from the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation and with the 19th verse. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 49 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Be sure now and pray for our services. This month, we'll be down out of town over the weekend, next weekend, and then the following weekend, we'll be at the Jefferson County Prison. We'll have a service with the men and a service with the women. Be sure and pray for those services. It's so important that you pray for us. And by the way, I want to thank the Lord for my eye operation. I'm feeling pretty good. And anytime you want to have an eye operation, don't be afraid, because, boy, they've got it down to a science nowadays. Be with you for 28 minutes. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see the Lord has for us, okay? I'd like to read to you from the 21st chapter Revelation, and with the 7th verse. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Dear friends, I'd like to speak to you just for a few moments about the final hour. You and I do not know when the final hour is coming in our lives. However, we can be ready when that time comes, because the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. You see, Noah was called of God to build a huge ark because God was about to destroy the earth by water. You might say, well, why? Because of sin. Dear friends, if you think we're not living in a sinful world, you must be hiding under a rock. Why do you think God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Because of sexual sin. You know, I really feel sad about this, but many homosexual and lesbians think we as Christians are bigots because we tell them, the Bible tells them, that if they are not converted to Christ, they'll go to hell. See, God hates their sins. He hated my sins, but he loves sinners. You know, if all they have to do is repent of their sins, turn their back on the old way of life, and invite Christ in the heart, and he gives you new life. That's what he does for anybody. The Bible tells we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have and I have. God is a loving God, but when his patience wears out, look out. Folks, listen, I'm not on here tonight to condemn you, but I came to warn you. I was a director of 3 rescue missions in my young life, and the big one was in the Grand Forks, North Dakota. And I preached there every Saturday night, and people from all over the city would come to the services. They would be Lutherans, Baptists, Pentecostal, you name it. Now, not just the men and the women from the mission, but people from other churches. And I do my radio broadcast that night, too. Well, before I was to speak, I used to go down in the crew's quarters, the men's quarters, and say, men, we're having our service here tonight. Now, you know what we do. We turn off the TV and the radio during the preaching service. Now, I never required anybody to come to the service. That was voluntary. Now, a lot of people don't agree with that, but it is voluntary. Well, so everybody came up, and I went down to check again, and there was one 20-year-old Indian boy whose name was James Anoka. I said, James, aren't you coming to the service? And he said, no, I'm not. I don't have to come and hear about a blankety-blank God. I pay my board here. You see, when the men worked in the field, they paid $1 a night to stay in a clean bed and showers and clean pajamas during an event. So I turned and started to walk up the stairs, and I turned around and I said, James, you'll be sorry you said that. The next morning I received a phone call from the Grand Forks Police Department, and they said, Preacher, do you have a young man in your mission by the name of James Anoka? And I said, I do. Well, sometimes during the night, James walked across the railroad track to go to a bar and have a drink. Somehow, some way, a train hit him and cut him in a million pieces. Then my mind went to what I said to James that night. James, you'll be sorry you said that. Here was an Indian boy who had a large family who lived on the reservation. And you know what? No one came to his funeral. Well, sometimes a man must die alone. I remember they had him in one of those old caskets that was welfare gave. And I was the only one there. And I stood before that casket, my tears come to my eyes, and I thought, James, 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 oh, how many times I tried to reach you for Christ. I loved you, and I tried to make you happy, and we fed you good meals, and I treated you with respect. But James said no for the last time. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29:1, a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You see, folks, God kept his word. You know, folks, there were several men who came through our mission over the years I was there, who some were murdered, some died tragic deaths, but undoubtedly this was their final hour. I don't know how many men I buried from my mission who said no to the Lord for the last time. I remember I was preaching a revival in Burlington, Washington. And as you know, that's really logging country. And a lot of those loggers and log truck drivers are alcoholics. My wife and the pastor's wife went to a logger's house and introduced this logger's wife to the Lord. Her husband, of course, was an alcoholic. His wife tried to get her husband to come to the meeting Sunday morning. That was the last day of the revival. She begged her husband to come to the service. He refused and said that he was going fishing. You know what happened that morning, friends? His boat upset, and he got tangled in the underbrush and was drowned. Yes, that was his final hour. I was also preaching another revival in Hamilton, Washington. The night before the meeting was to start, the pastor and a deacon went to visit a bootlegger and an alcoholic. They told him a converted alcoholic was conducting the meeting, and the bootlegger said, I probably know more about the Bible than the preacher. The next morning, the preacher went by again to invite him to church, and he found the old bootlegger dead. Yes, this was his final hour. You know, folks, one cannot be saved until God's Holy Spirit tugs at your heart. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I guess the question I'm asking tonight is God's Holy Spirit tugging at your heart right now. It tells us in Matthew 24:4-5, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You recall Jim Jones, that preacher that took all those people down to South America? Well, he had them believing that he really was the Messiah. Well, they all end up committing suicide. You know, the devil will tell you all that you have to do to get to heaven is join a local church. That's not true. Some believe that if they were baptized, they'll get to go to heaven. Friends, that's the work of the devil. Now, why did people get baptized? Because Jesus told us to. To fulfill all righteousness. Was Jesus lost? Of course not. So salvation does not come from water baptism, I'll tell you for sure. Jesus himself warned him, my sheep shall hear my voice and follow me. If you think you are all right without Christ, oh, dear friends, you're mistaken. Those who think God will ignore your sins are mistaken. I remember I was asked to go visit a roofer. That's what I used to be. And I was a pastor of this church in Oregon. I went by and I told him what Jesus did for me. And he sat there and he said, Cecil, I really enjoy your story. I really honestly do. But Cecil, listen, I want everything that you have, but I sure don't want Jesus to get it. I said, son, unless you get Jesus, you will never get it. The final hour of death in Hebrews 9:27, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face the judgment. There's no surprise with Christ. He talked about life and death freely. One of the men that live in our mission in North Dakota, he was a black man, and I liked him, old Charlie. I liked Charlie. I did everything I could to reach him for Christ. Well, one day he come in the mission, and he was all dressed up, and I said, Charlie, where did you get the money for the threads? I said, I have ways. What he was doing was selling dope to our high school kids. Well, one night he came into the mission. He was hiring a Georgia cook stove, and I said, Charlie, do me a favor. You tell me who's peddling this stuff to you. Oh, he said, you think I'm crazy? If I told you where I got my dope, he said, not only would they kill you, but they'd kill me. Well, I said, Charlie, they're going to kill you anyway. You can rest assured, because you can't keep your mouth shut. You're going to make a mistake. Well, Charlie would come to the mission, and I'd talk to him, and he'd say, yeah, Rev, I know. Yeah, I know, I know. I said, but Charlie, someday your life is going to be over. The decision you make where you want to spend eternity must be done on this side of eternity, not the other side. Sure enough, one night they murdered him. They killed him. The police department put him in a train and his body and shipped him to Mississippi. They never even tried to find who murdered him. Now let's shift gears. Let's talk about the 3 hours that Jesus spent in the Garden of Gethsemane and the 3 hours of darkness while he hung on the cross. Have you ever thought of what Jesus went through in the Garden of Gethsemane? He knew what was facing him, the pain, the humiliation, and he knew that the people who were crucifying him was who he was dying for. They crucified him, then he died for them. Remember when he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Every unsaved man or woman will stand at the great white throne where they'll be judged for your sin and then be cast into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Only unsaved people will meet at the great white throne, condemned and sentenced to eternal suffering. No born-again person will be there. Hebrews 3:7-8, so as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not hearken your heart as it did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. I was pastoring a church in Oregon, and this lady was an alcoholic. She had 3 children. Her husband left her. And we invited her and her children to come out and have Thanksgiving with us. While the children were out playing football with my kids, we tried to witness to Nita. And she said, oh, I'm not in a hurry. I'm in no hurry. Well, one day she was sent to the hospital. No one knew what happened. Well, I knew the chaplain over there at the hospital, so I called him and I said, Chaplain, would you go down and see Nita? She's lost. She needs Jesus. So Chaplain Tarver's dad went down to her room and told her who he was and said he knew me and we were friends. And he started sharing Jesus with her. Pretty soon he said, well, Nita, I'm going to have to leave. Do you mind if we have a word of prayer before I leave? And she said, no, go ahead and pray. He bowed his head and he prayed. And when he woke up, opened his eyes, She was gone. She was dead. Folks, listen. This was her day and hour, yet she said no for the last time. Trust Christ now as your personal Savior. In Isaiah 55, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Listen, let me ask you, friend, is this God's last call today? The Bible said the Spirit of God will not always strive with men whereby men must be saved. You say, Cecil, I'm too great a sinner. Oh, no. Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, on no wise cast out. Right now, beloved, the Lord is standing with outstretched hand, saying, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Friends, listen, God is calling you right now. I'm going to give you an invitation for you to trust Christ before it's too late. Now listen, I don't want you to pray the sinner's prayer unless the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart. I don't want you to. That would be making mockery. But here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong to you, to everybody. And the best way I know, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. And I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Listen, friend, I do not care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Now listen, do you say, well, Cecil, I don't quite understand it. Call me. You can talk to me. I won't jump on you. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. One last call, 303-471-8534.
Thank you.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you so much for listening, dear friends. Please pray for our ministry, pray for our prison ministry, pray for our health. And we've got a magazine, the papers coming out to see if we can reach some alcoholics here in Colorado. Well, friends, I want you to stay sweet and keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.